I want students to know what's available to them. I want them to take advantage of these support services that weren't always around. You know, basic needs insecurities have always been around, but basic needs programs haven't. And so now that there are programs specifically for helping these students, it was important for me to be a part of that.
Welcome to the Mount San Antonio College Podcast. I'm Chisa Uweke, a Mount SAC professor and librarian, and I'm pleased to be your host for this season. Our goal is to keep you connected to our campus by bringing you the activities and events you may not have time to attend, to share the interesting things our colleagues are creating and innovative ways they are supporting and connecting with Mount SAC students. Join me as we explore Mount SAC.
Thank you for joining us. The Mount SAC podcast last checked in on our basic needs resources in the fall of 2022, in what has become our most downloaded episode in the 9 seasons of the podcast. Because there's a clear interest in this topic, we wanted to provide an update about the resources currently available, the students that are served, and how we can best support students facing housing, food, and other basic needs insecurities. Monica Arellano, admin specialist, Lorena Cardoso, program specialist, and Richard Chavez, student resource navigator lead, joins Chisa Uweke.
Thank you all so much for joining me today. I wanted to start by asking Monica to explain to our listeners what basic needs are.
Yes. So here at Basic Needs Resources, we assist students with anything outside of the academics. Now, our goal is to provide trauma-informed, holistic student-centered services to any student that is currently an active student, both in credit and non-credit. We have 8 major areas that we provide services in. First, I'd like to start with any student who is currently facing any food insecurities. We provide CalFresh assistance for as a long-term solution. And then we also, students can have access to our Mountie Fresh food pantry as something that is short-term. And we'll go into that a little bit later here in the podcast. But we also have snack rack services around campus. Another area that we assist students is childcare. We currently have partnered up with Upwards that provides our student parents like a database where they can find childcare resources. And as if we're looking through forward for our financial support area, we partner up with on-campus here with our financial aid office and also the Mountie Money Management Program to help students who are currently facing any financial need. With technology support, we connect students to the Mount SAC Laptop Loan Program, and we also make referrals to community partners if students need that support in technology. With our personal health and hygiene, any student who is currently facing that, we refer students here to the health center, and the health center then provides either low-cost or free community health services, but we also provide students with the basic hygiene necessities that they may need, whether here in our center or at the food pantry. If a student is coming in looking for mental health, basic needs connects them to our mental health resources, both here on campus and also community. If a student is currently in need of transportation support, we connect students with resources to address that, whether it be here on campus or we provide them with in-house support with gas cost or public transportation. And the last one is if a student is currently facing any housing insecurity, they're able to connect with a case manager or it's a peer one-on-one with a student navigator. And we will assist the student in locating temporary housing or long-term housing, but we connect them with community partners. We either make the referrals or connect them directly so that they can find the assistance they need.
I have a couple of follow-up questions, Monica. So you mentioned food insecurities. Is an example of food insecurities, for instance, it would be just if a student doesn't have ready access to nutritional meals on a daily basis?
Correct. So something that we would want to then ask the student is if they're connected with CalFresh, if they were able to assist them so they can sign up for the EBT SNAP benefits. Here on campus, we do have locations, food eateries that do accept EBT currently. And then another thing is the food pantry. And at the food pantry, they can receive anything from canned goods to fresh produce. And then we have partnered up with Every Table that provide ready-to-go meals that are on the go. So that's another option that they can have there. And then there's always the snack rack. If a student goes to a snack rack, they're at the snack rack, they're able to pick up 2 snacks per day, but also receive any food nutritional resources that they might be eligible for.
And at that, they just show up and it's open. They don't have to sign in with anyone or anything like that, right?
Correct. For the snack rack. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
I would like to add, just for any students who might be hearing it, when we talk about food insecurity, insecurity does not simply mean I'm starving. That could be as simple as, commonly I go to school Monday through Thursday and I often miss lunch. Why? Because maybe I don't have enough money, whether for my job or financial afford lunch. So the food pantry, the snack racks are a good place to have the little supplement to get that little pick-me-up.
Thank you so much, Richard. Lorena, how do we know what the needs are among community college students in California and for Mount SAC students in particular?
Yeah, so what we have been a part of is the Real College Survey, which assesses the basic need insecurities for community colleges in California, and then also our specific community college. And so some of the numbers that we've gotten, for example, in the last report, which was the 2023 Real College Institution Report, is taking a look at the percentages of students that have experienced any basic need insecurity, food insecurity, specifically housing insecurity and homelessness. And so when taking a look at overall the numbers for California community colleges, 68% of the respondents that completed the survey stated that they had any basic need insecurity. 47% stated that they experienced food insecurity. 58% experienced housing insecurity, and 24% experienced homelessness. And then when taking a look at Mount SAC specifically, we have 50% of our student respondents experience any basic need insecurity, 32% experience food insecurity, 43% experienced housing insecurity, and 14% experienced homelessness. And so it's important to take a look at these numbers because that helps us to see what services we need to provide for our students. It helps us to see what partnerships we need to create, right? And so taking a look, for example, at some of the disparities in basic needs and security is taking a look at our foster youth respondents, for example. And so overall for Mount SAC, when it comes to food insecurity and housing insecurity, so for Mount SAC overall, 32% of respondents stated that they experienced food insecurity, and then 43% stated that they experienced housing insecurity, and the 14% experienced homelessness. Now, taking a look within those percentages, our foster youth respondents, 76% experienced food insecurity, 76% experienced housing insecurity, and 47% experienced homelessness. So those are really high numbers for our foster youth respondents. And so that helps us to see, okay, what can we do for former foster youth students, right? There's the Next Step Reach program. What collaborations do we need to do with them? What info sessions do we need to do with them? What outreach efforts do we need to do with them, right? And that goes with the different student populations that we serve. So being a part of the Real College Survey is important because it helps us to see our numbers and overall as a community college system and to see what we need to improve, what has been improved, right? Taking a look at our numbers from the previous report done in 2020, versus the last report, 2023, we do see a decrease in any basic need insecurity from 58% to 50%, right? And so taking a look at those numbers and taking a look at our program, we can see, okay, well, we've increased food services, we've increased housing partnerships, we've increased case management support, we've implemented a housing navigation lead, right? So all these different things are services we've added. And so we do see some of those decreases, which is great, right? Doesn't mean the work is done, of course, but it is important to take a look and compare those years to see what we're doing right, what we need to improve on.
Yeah. Thank you so much. The numbers are staggering.
Yes.
And so I appreciate you drilling down for us so we get a sense of how it is different for different groups of students, but then also to share that we're on an uptrend. So you said it's called the Hope Survey. So that does give us some hope. It means the services that are being provided, the program students have access to, are providing help that's needed.
Yes.
So thank you so much for that. Can you tell us a little more about how many of the students impacted are receiving services at Mount SAC?
Yeah, so when taking a look at our impact report for the year 2023 to 2024, and taking a look at our numbers, so for example, for students that were experiencing food insecurity, right? And taking a look at our food pantry specifically, we were able to serve 3,000 students. And throughout that year, we had about 8,200 pantry visits because our students are able to visit the food pantry once in that week that it's open, right? So when taking a look at our CalFresh students, right, we were able to help 547 students complete applications, and 250 of those students were able to receive CalFresh benefits. And then, like Monica had mentioned, right, on campus, students are able to use their EBT card, specifically right now at the Mount SAC Prime Stop. And we are going to be also increasing the accessibility of using EBT on campus for other stores as well. But taking a look at the amount, right? So about $32,000 were spent at the Mount SAC Prime Stop using EBT benefits during
that
year.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So taking a look at these numbers, we're definitely seeing the impact that we are able to make, right, for our students. And then, for example, for our peer-to-peer navigation and case management, 790 students received peer-to-peer navigation and case management support between 2023 to 2024, and 83 students received direct housing services. So whether that was received rental assistance through community programs, connected to some of our partnerships and community programs, additionally, taking a look at financial assistance, right? We do have emergency funds available for students experiencing basic needs insecurities, facing unforeseen financial hardships, right? And so throughout that year, we were able to provide 116,815 funds of emergency grant support. And we also are able to provide vouchers for our students. And that can be either for, like Monica had mentioned before, the services we provide, right? So that's either transportation support, grocery support, food insecurity. We even have Sodexo cards that we provide for our students, right? For the students that are on campus for, you know, the whole day, right? So we have those types of services. And so basic needs vouchers, we were able to provide $92,000 worth of support for our vouchers that were distributed to our students. I do also want to note that we do have basic needs resources support in the non-credit program. And for that, a total of $45,000 was awarded to basic needs referrals so that they would be able to access that emergency funding as well. And 862 basic needs services were provided overall throughout that year of 2023 to 2024 for our non-credit students.
That's so terrific. Thank you for sharing all of that.
Of course.
So your mission describes the services provided through the Basic Needs Resource Program as, quote, trauma-informed, holistic, and student-centered, end quote. How do you embody these approaches in your work?
Right. So I'll go ahead and start it off and then I'll have Richard amp onto it. So when it comes to trauma-informed, holistic, student-centered, we understand that each student is different, right? Each student has different needs. Each student comes from a different background. And so it's important for us to be able to show empathy to our students, right? To be able to be understanding, to learn about the different types of trauma that our students may experience, and to ultimately see each student as an individual with individual needs, and knowing that no two students are the same. And so that's why it's so important for our navigators to meet with the students and do that assessment, and our case managers to meet individually with students to do those assessments, because each student is different. And we want to make sure that we are looking holistically at the student, right? Not just academically. We want to make sure that our students' basic needs are being met, because ultimately that does impact their academics, right? We want to make sure that they have their health in check, both mental and physical, right? And so that's kind of what it means to take a look at their holistic selves. What does their support system look like, right? So just taking a look at those things. And I know Richard wanted to add a few points.
Yes, thank you, Lorena. It's very important too. I would like to mention that a lot of students are going to come from different places, different backgrounds, different life experiences. I think that's where us as navigators, we make it specific to them, right? So we have different students who might come to us. Oh, I've been here at Mount Sac a few years. I just need a follow appointment. What's new? What can I get? What can I help you with? Okay, cool. Let's help you schedule an appointment. Let's have that conversation. I have other students who might be non-traditional students, might come from older age groups or be less tech savvy. So as some people know, the portal changed. A lot of people don't have to navigate that. So understanding that there's difficulties they may face there, how do we get them to the appointment? How do we get them to the meeting? And even within our meetings we have with our students, it's going to look different from each student. I might have a 30-minute appointment with a student where I'm just going over everything we have available to them to offer them. But another one might be going through a lot of harder stuff. So it might be more empathy. It might be more active listening and seeing what happened, what got you to the situation. So I'm here not trying to jam as much as can down your throat of what we have to offer, but hearing you as a person, because that's the biggest thing, to know that what they're going through is real, what they're doing is impacting their school. So hearing them out, and giving that rapport, giving that student-centered approach, I think it was really important, because, and then even coming down to realize, hey, you know what? It's okay. We all go through this. I've gone through this similarly. I've had these experiences, and this is what betters me. So sometimes the meeting even slows down from, okay, let's kind of try to get you as much as I can help you with, to let me sit down, let me hear you out, let me talk to you, and then maybe we need to have a follow-up to go over other things.
Thank you so much, Richard. It sounds like very powerful work, and your approach is really nuanced in that you are balancing what the resource needs are, but also the need to be heard and understood. So that's fantastic. I appreciate you sharing that with us. We'd like to hear from each of you about what drew you to this work.
So for me, I went to a community college, right? I did experience some basic needs insecurities, but I was not aware of the programs that were accessible to me. Part of it was I didn't ask, but also part of it was kind of that stigma, some shame, right? I just kind of kept in my bubble, right? And so now that this type of support service is available for students, I wanted to be a part of that because I want students to know what's available to them. I want them to take advantage of these support services that weren't always around. You know, basic needs insecurities have always been around, but basic needs programs haven't. And so now that there are programs specifically for helping these students and taking a look at them again, just holistically, right? Not just looking at their academics is so important. And so it was important for me to be a part of that, to be a part of that, to be a part of that support for students, because it's something that I wish I would have had And so, yeah.
Thank you, Lorena. Monica, could you share what drew you to this work?
Yeah, what drew me to this work in particular is that I have a passion for education and seeing a student succeed. And in this particular program is we get to see the different journeys that our students are going through. They're coming from diverse backgrounds and situations and scenarios, and being able to provide them with the tool to help them succeed through their education is life-changing. Now, a student may come in one day with one particular insecurity, and the next semester, you know, they feel the need to come in and being able to share that they may be facing financial support, and being able to provide them with that is important and a positive aspect. And what we bring to the community and to the campus is how we all come together for this one mission, is making sure that we're meeting the needs of our students each and every day and every semester, and then seeing them graduate at the end is very rewarding.
Thank you. Richard, did you want to add what drew you to this work?
Yeah, what drew me for this work was I was honestly one of those people that was facing basic needs insecurities, you know, not knowing where my next meal is, where I'm going to sleep the next night. It's scary and it's very daunting. It's something that really can affect your mental health as you're taking classes. And so thankfully, as I started working here on campus, I did connect to a lot of resources. And through that, I started working with iFoster that placed me here at the Next of Reach program, where I helped the foster population, giving back to my community. And from there, it led to working your basic needs because I wanted to work in a similar field where it went from helping a specific group with their needs to helping a broader group and a wider audience, like here at Mount SAC, where we have a lot of students from all over that need this help and support. So it's more of me knowing myself how scary it was and how afraid I was to ask for help, to go to people, to talk to places and admit that, hey, yeah, I'm struggling. So knowing that, I can reach out to the students and let them know that you don't have to be afraid. It's okay. And we're going to be here to help you as much as possible.
That peer-to-peer connection can be so important as well. So that's amazing. Richard, I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit more about the challenges. You've already talked some about this, but a little more about the challenges students face in accessing services, as well as what a student can expect when they are seeking services.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of things students may face is, as we know, there's a variety of basic needs securities, right? But I think it's a lot of it's the lack of knowing, right? It's a big campus. There's a lot of different resources. Oftentimes, students come and they just see the blanket statement of I need X, right? Maybe I need money to get to school. I need gas support. I don't get a lot of financial aid if I get financial aid and I can't cover my textbooks. So they see it as like a singular thing. And that's what we kind of, why we have those meetings, because they're saying, oh yeah, here's maybe a way to help you with gas, here's a way to help you with textbooks, but see, that's a broader problem, right? This time of year is a good example. A lot of students may have lost their seasonal jobs. That's a loss of income. That's going to affect other areas of their lives. So realizing and seeing that and saying, okay, well, you came here for this, but there's other things we can help you too that they didn't even know about, they didn't even ask about, and we're here to offer them. So saying, okay, well, that loss of income made you behind. Now you're struggling to pay for textbooks, you're struggling to pay for gas, but you know what, maybe you're struggling for food, you just haven't said it, right? So being able to hear those indirectly spoken things and address them with the students is a big one. Or I think another one is, like I said, connect them to other pieces of campus. There's many times, it happens all the time, where I'll be working with a student, I'll offer them all these great things, and they're like, I'm literally about to graduate here, I never heard about any of this. So we would tell them, you know, I'm so sorry, this is your last semester here, but at least while you're here, come connect to all these places, go apply to these programs, apply to these things that are going to help you. And then, so I think a big one they're facing as well is a lot of times was being on campus a lot. So I'm thankful our program does offer our meetings in person, Zoom or phone, because a lot of students say, hey, I just go straight home after class. I would have never explored or found out about these other things had you not told me.
So Richard, you mentioned when students graduate, mm-hmm. but just to clarify, they keep their CalFresh benefits when they graduate as long as they're still eligible, right?
Yeah, based on eligibility, they may go from a general student application to a general application, but yes, they could potentially still get benefits. I've had students who already have benefits, became a student, and then became under the student eligibility. So again, it is all based on eligibility, but yeah, just because you graduate doesn't mean you lose benefits, or likewise, you don't have to be a student just to get CalFresh benefits as well. But specifically, our team does help our students and know their student eligibility to get those benefits.
Thank you. That's really helpful. Can you tell me, what do you want to be sure that students know about basic needs resources? Of course, we've said a lot already, but if there was one specific message you wanted to make sure students got, what would it be?
I would have to say I want students to know that we're here, we're available. We're not just a one and done type place. A lot of times things are dynamic. I met with students where maybe I met with them the first year I started working here. Having here for a sudden, they're coming back years later. They took a gap. Maybe they had a kid. They just have money to take classes. And they're like, hey, you know what? I came back and I just remembered this one program. And that's one thing I would recommend to law students, because we get law students coming from tours, transfer from different colleges. And one thing I say is, you know, you're going to go and you're going to learn about 10, 15 different places on campus. And I would recommend, if you remember any, try to remember us, because why? I'm going to remind you about those other 10, 15 other programs. And at very least, we're always going to be here, right? So we're a lot of times students ask me, oh, what do I need to be eligible to be a part of Basic Needs? Just take classes here at Mount SAC. Be an active student. That's all you need. And I said, say that other programs may change eligibility, right? Based on their units, if they graduated, GPA and other things, but we don't really have a lot of those requirements. A lot of us is based on connecting to it. So I want them to know that your life might be one way today, and that's fine. You may need maybe just like a couple snacks, but tomorrow, next week, next semester, things will change. I know I've had a lot of changes while working here as well, and my needs change, so will our students' needs, and we're here to adjust. So a lot of times I like to tell students, you can always come back, you can always reply, you can always see what you're eligible for, right? Because I'll change. Because like I said, today it might be one thing, but tomorrow you might be like, I don't want to apply. I don't want to go back. I didn't like what they offered, or maybe didn't offer what I needed then. Today's a new story. Today is something we can look to and see what we can do to help you during your academic journey here at Mount SAC.
Thank you, Richard. So what are the most important actions that faculty and staff should take to support students with basic needs insecurities?
So we do offer the allyship training, our basic needs resources allyship training. And this is an opportunity for our staff and faculty to learn more about basic needs insecurities, what they are, how it impacts our students, not just academically, but holistically, right? It's an opportunity to assess what we can do as a Mount SAC community to address those needs, right? And so, for example, for faculty, a lot of times they have the most interaction with our students, right? Because they're in the classroom. And so what can faculty do to help the students that are experiencing basic needs insecurities? And how do they know, right? How do they know that a student is experiencing? So off the bat, something that faculty can do is to include a syllabus statement in their syllabus for students, right? Noting that we have these services on campus if you are ever experiencing basic needs insecurities. And so, you know, sometimes students, they don't want to talk about what they're going through with their professor, or they're too shy, or they don't know how to. That off the bat, having that syllabus statement, it's part of being trauma-informed, right? Knowing that our students aren't always comfortable with talking about their situations. And so just having that, so that students have access to reading it and knowing that, hey, there is a program here on campus that can connect you to other programs as well. You know, just to note for anybody who would like to join or who would like to be a part of the Basic Needs Ally community, we are having our next training May 16th in person, and you can sign up for it through the PodConnect platform.
Awesome. Now I want to ask all of you if you have anything else that you want to share, anything that we didn't get a chance to talk about or that you've thought of now that you want to make sure gets on the podcast.
Yes. So I'd like to share a little bit about the Mountie Fresh Food Pantry that is going to be starting up. And as you know, our food pantry is available twice a month on the second and fourth week of the month. And we are starting March 11th. And within those weeks, we provide the food pantry support on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Fridays of those weeks. And the hours of operation are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's open and available to all current students as long as they're enrolled in one course, whether it be credit or non-credit. They must bring their ID, whether it be their student ID or have access to their A number, and then also provide a photo ID. with that. And then they just have to bring their own bags, and they receive anywhere between 50 and 60 items of food. And that ranges from canned goods, fresh produce. We do have some bread and also some ready to go meals from every table. So that's super important that we have every student stop by and they can receive the service, no questions asked. It just have to be enrolled, and then they can attend both the second and fourth week of the month.
So Monica, they don't have to have CalFresh or be eligible for CalFresh to come to the food pantry. Is that correct?
Correct. There's no CalFresh benefit eligibility that they have to meet. And then there's also no income requirement as well, as long as they're a current enrolled student.
Fantastic. So that goes back to what Richard was saying about how things change. So it may be that right now you might not even be eligible for CalFresh, but for whatever reason, you have a need this week, this month, this semester. This is a safety net available for any of our students who have that need.
Correct. Yes. And then another event that we have as well, as we're talking at needs, we have our Thrift and Thrive event that has been popping up within the last couple semesters. And it's a donation-wide campus that we ask twice a year. Right now, we're currently accepting donations till March 16th. At the end of April, we're going to have our big Thrift and Thrive event where we invite the whole campus community to stop by and they can receive up to 10 items, whether it be clothing, shoes. We have some little smaller home good items. It just goes to show that we're able to give back to students another way, whether it be food insecurity, and this is clothing. And this is a good time for students to stop by and pick up that clothing, the business casual attire that they need for their next journey, whether it be for interviews or for internships. They can be able to pick up these items that they may not be able to have access to outside of campus.
And then I did want to also add, if you are not following us already on Instagram, we are very active on our social media at Basic Needs. And on there, we post all, you know, different events that we're having. We post reminders. We post community resources that we may see, right? So definitely, you know, follow us on social media so that you can just be in the know. And yeah.
I was going to say, one of my end things I would like to share is that it doesn't take a lot to help connect a student, right? Whether for staff and faculty, as Lorna mentioned, just simple as a sentiment statement in their slides helps, having flyers in our office. A lot of times students indirectly drop little things like, oh, like, I'm sorry, like, I'm falling asleep in class because maybe I stayed up late last night, has a night shift, or it's hard for me to concentrate because I'm hungry. Or even sometimes you'd be surprised students will talk about and mention, oh, yeah, like, professor will find out that students got kicked out of the house. And so you don't need to know the A and Z's to what we do to be able to connect a student, to have the ear to offer that support. A lot of times I get professors that call, hey, I'm actually adding a new slide to my syllabus. Does this sound good for what you guys offer? Or students come in, hey, I came in today. I didn't even know this place existed, but my professor told me about it. I did see the syllabus quiz. Like, you'd be surprised how much these little things mention. And like I said, these professors are not spending, of course, a whole lecture talking about it, but these little nuggets they drop make a big difference for students. A lot of times I do hear them. My friend told me about this, another place on campus, my professor. All I need to do is just know where we're located. And if you know nothing else, just send them a direction. If you think remotely we can help them, we'll do the assessment from there.
Thank you so much, Richard. As you're saying, it doesn't take a lot. It can be very easy just to make sure that you're mentioning that and mentioning it multiple times so that it gets heard by the students who need to hear it.
Yeah, just simple as them mentioning it, having a phone call. What I love the best is when people from across campus take their time to walk a student to our office, because you can know they're getting the help and support from there. Like, you can see the ease on their face along with the warm handoff that, okay, now they're going to help you. So, yeah.
When I was earlier talking with Rigo, he mentioned that you all are great staff in the office. You've got the student navigators. Richard, you're student navigator lead. But that, as Monica said about the Thrift and Thrive, it really is a college community effort to support basic needs. So Rigo did say, and I wanted to share, that he thanked event services, the warehouse, the custodial team, the garage who keeps the cart and van running. That was really helpful for me to hear, because we forget about how interconnected all the work is. and how much we rely on each other and full campus support. So, and Richard, I loved hearing about when you said when people walk the students to your office. And I think that that really shows how we know that care and compassion makes a difference for students. So I also want to thank all of you for your amazing work and for taking the time to share all of this information with us so that we can be better informed and better support our students who may be experiencing some of these insecurities now or in the future. Thank you.
Thank you for allowing us to share all the services we have to provide.
Thank you for listening to the Mount San Antonio College Podcast, brought to you by Mount SAC's Pod Office and created in partnership with Avant House Media. Original music created and edited by Neera Azira. Be sure to check out our growing library of over 230 episodes and let us know your thoughts. You can reach me, Chisa Uweki, at cuyeki@mountsac.edu. Wishing you an amazing year and happy listening.